Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. And it's Tuesday, February 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2020. If you're like me, when you hear that music come in, it does something to you. I mean, that burm, burm, burm. Oh, the breakdown right there, too. You're lucky I'm on the air because I'll start dancing. Well, good evening, everybody. I'm Abraham Hamilton III, host of the Hamilton Corner. I'm joined by my compadre, my brethren in arms, Mr. Rob Gardner on my left, Jeff Reed on my right, Marty Sparks lighting up the dark on the screening room. That's right. This is a studio full of masculinity, but it ain't toxic. In fact, you need it in your life. That's why the Lord made them both male and female. See, if you're not careful, you'll let the world rob you of a gift, of a blessing in your efforts to be contemporarily relevant. Yes, I'm excited to be with you for another edition of the Hamilton Corner. I want to encourage you, as most of you are making your way from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, I want to encourage you to do so with the full intentionality that this is not an accident. I actually came across a headline today from the Atlantic that suggested the nuclear family was a mistake. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the article goes on to say, maybe we made a mistake by focusing all of this attention on the nuclear family. When if you survey families in America, you realize you probably should have been given more attention to it. No, brothers and sisters, it wasn't a mistake. The nuclear family is not some idea, some invention of Western civilization. You want to know who authored the family? God. And if you got problems with the nuclear family, you take it up with the man who made it. You take it up with the God who made it instead of quibbling. I mean, it's ridiculous. I read somewhere, you guys might remember this, where the Lord providentially declared, professing to be wise, they became fools. Foolish hearts becoming darkened. Man, how silly can you be? Listen, y'all know, you listen to this program, you guys know I'm from the hood. I have intimate experience with people whose lives have deviated from the normative standard established by Scripture. But just because you and I may fall short of the Lord's standards, that doesn't give us the license or the privilege to redefine the standard. No, all that means is that we've fallen short. But the standards don't change. I mean, goodness gracious, even the unbelievers know through sociological research that the best indicator for the outcomes of children is when they grow up in the home with a father and a mother, a married father and mother. The best statistics for financial circumstances come from a home where there's a married father and mother and they rear their children together. When there is a delay in reproduction to where you graduate from high school, you get married, and then you have a child. Now, I know, listen, my own family, I have deviations from the Lord's standards. But the Lord was the one who said the marriage bed is undefiled. Delay physical engagement and the reproduction that is natural, the natural outflow of physical engagement, until after commitment. We say in my family, commitment always precedes intimacy. But just because we may have violated God's standards or deviated from God's standard, I mean, we get to change the standard. But see, that's what men do. See, the entire discussion, man, I'm going off already. The entire discussion we're having in society today is whose word, dare I say, whose morality will become the norm. Is it going to be God's word or is it going to be man's word? You can really boil down every conversation, every policy discussion, every socioeconomical political issue. You can boil it down to God's word or man's word. And yes, the truth is that both of our major national political parties have issues with this. I mean, do I need to recite how the Democrat Party, they want to celebrate killing children, celebrate violating God's standards for sexuality and identity? Do we need to talk about that? And on the Republican side, you have some that don't seems like there is a complete ignorance to the idea of loving one's neighbor as oneself. Being so inwardly focused, we live as if we are islands unto ourselves. Now, you know, if you listen to this program, I am far from an advocate for socialism, which is a bridge to communism, the government-compelled redistribution of wealth. And also, you know that there's no such thing as a moral equivalence between the two, but the entirety of the debate turns on whose word is going to prevail, God's word or man's word. So I'm simply saying, regardless of what the Atlantic or any other of these jackleg wannabe spokesmouths intelligentsia will want to tell you, God's word is wisdom. In fact, we're going to get to that in the word of God. But let me say, as you're making that transition from part-time work, which you do outside of your home to generate an income, to your full-time work, serving your families well because you make money on a part-time basis, but you're a full-time husband, father, mother, wife, son, daughter, etc. That's a full-time thing. And it's not the exclusive, but it is a primary context that God has gifted us in which to be faithful to him. As you make that transition, do so being keenly aware of the primacy and import that God places on family. And not David Brooks from the Atlantic. That's who wrote that dumb article. That God places on family, and then engage with the gifts that God has placed within your full-time work. Engage them with the revelation that God has provided for us in his word. And with that, let's turn to the book of Proverbs. This flows right into, I didn't plan this way, but this flows right into what I'm going to talk about. From Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 10, if you've been following this program from any length of time, you guys know that Proverbs is one of the few places in scripture, because it is wisdom literature, where you can glean the depth of the text on an individualized analysis of scripture, generally speaking. Cannot do that with other genres of biblical literature. But in Proverbs, the Lord gives us wonderful guidance and instruction. This is a perfect example why the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, wrote that the Spirit of God is theonousitos, it's God-breathed, and it's profitable for instruction and doctrine and reproof and rebuke and training and instruction in the way of righteousness. The Bible says this, verse 7, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse or invites insults, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. Verse 10, this is what I want to focus on. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight or understanding. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight or understanding, as it says in the King James. Now, why am I reading that? Over the weekend, I was a part of a panel at the Gospel is Enough conference, which, by the way, if you weren't able to attend the conference, a little birdie gave me a little indication. I wanted to let the Hamilton Corner in on it as soon as I learned about it, that the videos will be uploaded to the website, gospelisenough.com, so you'll be able to watch the entirety of the conference online. But during a panel discussion where we were talking about the incursion that critical theory, critical race theory, intersectionality, and all of these things were making into our society, into the church, into seminaries, and all of these various venues, really shaping, molding, and shaping our culture, an attendee asked a question to the panel. So where can we send our children for education and things of that nature that will protect them from these ungodly philosophies? All right? And Dr. Lee Brand, man, the vice president and dean at the Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. Oh, man. When you watch these videos, all of them are good. But make sure you check out Dr. Brand's message. He was a closing message for the conference. But during the question and answer session, Dr. Brand made a point that I want to emphasize here for you. And I actually have recorded a commentary on the Hamilton Minutes. Those are the 1-minute commentaries you hear throughout the day on AFR, which, by the way, you can download as a podcast and share them on social media if you wanted to share those 1 minute podcasts, you know, to share with people. But I recorded a commentary called The Idolatry of the Expert. You see, in our contemporary society, we have been culturated to defer to the so-called experts. But I've said many, 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 many times, I don't care how many letters a person may have behind their name. They could be doctor, super doctor, post doctor, extra doctor, masters of this art, you know, wizard of this art. I don't care how many letters they have behind their name. That doesn't make them any more expert concerning your child than you. See, no matter how much a person studies, naturally speaking, and listen, I'm not one who denigrates academic prowess. I support it. I mean, I have a Juris Doctor myself, all right? But what I'm saying, hear what I'm saying. When it comes to your children, nobody is more of an expert on your child than you. I'll never forget when my wife and I had our first child, and neither one of our mothers nursed any of their children, including us. But the Lord had moved us to where, you know, nursing was the best route for our children. We had done our research, and we had found that if you read the small print on all of the formula, Similac, and all that kind of stuff, it says right there on the boxes and things, this stuff is nowhere near as good as breast milk for your child. Read it for yourself. Check it out. I'm saying, well, wait a minute. If y'all are telling me this stuff, but they put in this itty-bitty print, you know, if you're telling me this stuff is not as good as breast milk, why would I buy it? You know, so we're going through that process. Then we had our first child. I'll never forget, we went to Texas Women's Hospital in Houston, Texas, and they had what was called a lactation consultant. The day after my little boy, my oldest son, Christian, was born, and the lactation consultant came in the room. She said something I will never forget. She said, Mr. and Mrs. Hamilton, I've seen thousands of babies being born. I've raised, what, 3 or 4 of my own children. She said, no, she said, but I'm no expert in your child. I've never seen your child. I've never met your child. I will never forget those words. And immediately, the word of God came flooding through me. Psalm 139, for it is fearfully and wonderfully made. The biological fact that every human being is made with an individualized thumbprint. That even identical twins who share the same DNA, they don't share the same fingerprints. No matter how much expertise a doctor, master, so-and-so may have, they are no more expert on your child than you. And here's the clincher. You know how you know whether or not you're consulting a person who has the wisdom that's necessary for your child? Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, if these people have no fear of the Lord, that regardless of their academic accomplishments, that does not make them expert in your child. Because see, biblically speaking, you have a twofer working. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And then secondarily, if your child is your biological offspring, that there is a DNA connected grace that God has given you for your child. And if you also have taken the step to adopt a child, to foster a child, do you realize that there is a grace that is resident in adoption that is an echo of the gospel? This is why the Lord himself emphasizes for us that we have been what? Adopted into the beloved. Listen, family, if you have a child that you are rearing, you are training, there is no one that is more expert in that child than you. That doesn't mean you can't get help and assistance from different places, but remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And contrary to what the world may say, when you are a father or mother, you are a father and mother for life. The world says as 18, cut them loose. The Bible doesn't say that. Never forget, Moses didn't become the deliverer until he was 80 years old. After being over 80 years old in the wilderness, he still needed his father-in-law, Jethro, to give him some wisdom and insight. What I'm saying here, brothers and sisters, let's cast off the worldly so-called wisdom, which is no wisdom at all. I mean, these folks are so crazy, they're talking about the nuclear family was a mistake. So how then should we consider them to give us the wisdom and insight that's necessary to rear our offspring in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Man, please. They may know thousands of people, thousands of children, but they have never met yours. God has ordained for you to be the head and expert in your family.
Florida counseling ban hurts children. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. Today, I am at an appellate court challenging the City of Boca Raton and Palm Beach County ordinances. These unconstitutional bans prohibit minors from receiving voluntary counseling to reduce or eliminate unwanted same-sex attractions or behaviors or even gender confusion. We are representing two counselors and their minor clients. These licensed therapists provide life-saving counseling to minors who desperately desire to conform their attractions, behaviors, and gender confusion to their sincerely held religious beliefs. These ordinances are speech restrictions that violate the First Amendment. Boca Raton and Palm Beach County have no authority to enact these unconstitutional bans. Please pray that these horrible speech restrictions soon end. We must protect our children from radical activists. And stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/helpkids.
What percentage of college students would you guess hear about Christ on campus? Tragically, fewer than 10% of college students will experience any ongoing Christian ministry during their time in college. Although most of America's leading universities were founded on Christian principles, they have become extremely secular. These students are academically bright and are the vast majority of our future leaders, but they know little about Jesus. It's time to fast and pray for a widespread outpouring of God's Spirit on college campuses. Through the Collegiate Day of Prayer on February 27th, we have an extraordinary opportunity to unite in prayer for the revival and evangelism of college students. It's time for the whole church to unite in asking God to bring transformation to campuses. Would you adopt the campus at collegiatedayofprayer.com? I'm Clinton Scroggins with Campus Renewal Ministries and OneCry.com.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The world is making a mad, desperate, dangerous, and devilish rush toward making transgenderism the preferred option for sexually confused teenagers. In the process, teens are given puberty blockers that they're told are reversible. Unfortunately, that is blatantly false. Endocrinologist Dr. William Malone says puberty blockers interfere with normal bone density development as well as brain development and increase, rather than cure, gender dysphoria. One drug called Lupron actually causes the chemical castration of the teens who take it and is linked to a number of deaths. But 85% of teens naturally outgrow gender dysphoria by the time they're adults. God is clear that He made us male and female, and He's not confused at all about which is which, and we shouldn't be confused either.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner, where I'm already warmed up. I don't ease into the show. I just blast off from the beginning. Two opportunities coming up within the next couple weeks to participate in the American Family Town Hall event, Living the Gospel During Difficult Times. The immediate next one will be next week, February 20th, that's next Thursday, at 6:30 p.m. in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We will be at the Sheraton Harrisburg Hershey Hotel, 4650 Lindell Road, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17111. Then after that, we will be in Flagstaff, Arizona, March 5th at 6:30 p.m. That will be at the Little America Hotel, 2515 East Butler Avenue, Flagstaff, Arizona, 86004. At both of these town halls will be Rob Chambers, Vice President of AFA Action, Wesley and Walker Wildman, Vice Presidents of the American Family Association, and myself. And I'm telling you, I have a fire in my belly that the Lord has really, really impressed His word upon me to share in person with those who come. It'll be a fantastic time. Both events, all of the town hall events that you hear about, they will be free of charge. No money will be paid. The only thing that's necessary if you want to attend the town hall events is that you need to register. In order to do so, you need to go to afa.net/events. That's afa.net/events and register there. Upon doing so, you'll be in the building, and I can't wait to meet you all in person. All right. Foolishness du jour. New Hampshire primaries in the Democratic presidential primary and the Republican primary underway. New Hampshire is an interesting state that has, I got a question. It's Houston, Texas next. Not next, but stay tuned. I have some more announcements to make. The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is coming up in Tupelo, Mississippi. You don't want to miss that. Man, I told you guys 2020 was going to be off the chain. But it's good, man. I love getting out and meeting God's people. I love to do that. Oh, Tara and Merle says, Houston is waiting. All right. Powers that be. I know y'all listening. I can hear y'all in my ears. New Orleans. Oh, Sister Celeste from my hometown say, hold up now. New Orleans? When is New Orleans? All right. If you follow me on social media, you know I posted a little thing there. If you saw the TurboTax commercial that they aired during the Super Bowl. If you're not from New Orleans, you may not know this, but the musical style and even the dances that they were doing in that commercial are literally ripped right out of New Orleanian culture. It's actually called bounce. And so I said, TurboTax, I said, I hereby declare that TurboTax owes the city of New Orleans a hefty royalty payment. Pay my city. Oh, man. Jeff. Jeff, right on point with that one. That's right, TurboTax, y'all owe money. Come on and run that coin. Look, folks, I didn't know Jeff was about to play that. All right, let me get back to business here. New Hampshire. I was on New Hampshire, wasn't I? I was on New Hampshire. The New Hampshire primaries are underway where they begin voting. It's their tradition in New Hampshire to start at midnight on the presidential primary day. And so they're very small towns where literally a handful of single-digit voters vote in several small cities in the early. When I say early, I mean like with 8 votes. Amy Klobuchar got the most votes at midnight, vote at midnight this morning. And the primary voting process will continue on. And it's interesting that Joe Biden was supposed to be the front runner. I'm just going to tell you guys, I don't think Joe Biden is going to make it. It doesn't look like Joe Biden is going to even make it past Nevada. Because if this continues the way it is, Joe Biden may come in fourth, if not fifth, in New Hampshire. And if he comes in fourth or fifth in New Hampshire after coming in fourth in Iowa, are they still counting in Iowa? I mean, a shadow app wants to know. They'll be on Super Tuesday in March before you find out who actually won Iowa. I kid. You guys know I'm joking. But that's happening. And then I want to say, man, what's his name? Pete Buttigieg, Buttigieg. Man, this dude is starting to talk fresh. He thinks, well, let me tell you what's happening. So Pete Buttigieg was interviewed, and he is starting to brag that President Trump can't figure out what to do with me. I'm like, really? You think anybody would have a difficult time dealing with you in a general election? I mean, come talking about it, delusions of grandeur. I mean, can anybody, name a mayoral accomplishment from Buttigieg? Oh, Buttigieg. I mean, what is he running on anyway? Oh, that's right. His romantic affinity for a man. That's what he's running on. I mean, come on. He was interviewed. Well, not the interview, and Joe Biden is trying to take aim at Buttigieg through a couple campaign ads. I mean, Biden is lauding his participation in the Affordable Care Act, getting that passed, while Pete Buttigieg is, quote, installing decorative lights under bridges, giving the citizens of South Bend colorfully illuminated rivers. That's funny. Y'all know Joe didn't write that, but it's funny. It's funny. He even goes on to say that Joe Biden brags about being a part of the salvaging of the auto industry while Pete Buttigieg was revitalizing the sidewalks of downtown South Bend by laying out decorative brick. Is Joe Biden hitting at Pete Buttigieg's sexuality? I mean, look, he did it twice. Colorfully illuminated rivers. And decorative brick. I'll let you guys be the judge of that. But here's as an example of Pete Buttigieg kind of feeling himself lately. He was bragging in an interview when he started referring to the White House as his White House. Like, oh, it's yours already. He said this, quote, "So to me, the best use of that big blue and white airplane that comes with the Oval Office that the president uses mostly for the purpose of traveling among golf courses with his name on them. I don't even golf, so that's not going to be how I use that airplane. I'm going to use that airplane to go directly into the backyard of senators who are not just defying my White House, but defying their own voters, their own constituents, and require them to explain to the people who sent them to Washington why they refuse to enact the basic legislation that meets the expectation of their own voters," end quote. Talking about lost in his own sauce. Have you guys seen the picture of Pete Buttigieg sitting on a swing, swinging arm in arm with Chasten? Doesn't that photo just invoke confidence in you with Petey Pete as the commander in chief? Man, please. Pete, I'm sorry, but you will not be the president of the United States of America. I'm just telling you. Even if you get the Democratic nomination, which I think it will ultimately, potentially, based on the way things look right now, come down to, and this is an amazing thing to say, but Pete and Bernie or Elizabeth Warren, because they both have basically the same constituency. It seems like that constituency within the Democrat Party has more confidence in Bernie Sanders than Elizabeth Warren. So the reality is they are contending for the same voter base. If one of them drops out, their voters more than likely will go to the other one. That's Sanders or Warren. just pause and think about that. We have a socialist, and by a socialist, I mean Bernie Warren. Liawatha Sanders, you know, they're the same person, right? Or a sexually deviant socialist. Because make no mistake, policy-wise, there is not much difference between Buttigieg and Bernie and Warren policy-wise. Now, Pete talks differently. And remember what I said yesterday, tone of voice is not an indicia of the substance. He may speak with a different tone, but policy-wise, there is not much variance between them. And did you see in their debate? I mean, you want to talk about Molech worship. You thought that was just in Bible days. I mean, these people haven't seen a baby murder that they won't celebrate. I mean, Amy Klobuchar is the only one who has said that there's room in the Democrat Party for people who don't want to kill babies. Wanted to mention that to you. I'm going to go here next. Did you see this mess of a conversation that is with Dwayne Wade, the basketball player? Oh, man, this broke my heart when I saw this. That's right, Awilda. I don't know if I'm mispronouncing your name. If I am, please forgive me. On Facebook, Awilda says, different tone, same old junk. Exactly. Same old junk. You're right. Dwayne Wade. Oh, man, this broke my heart when I saw this. This absolutely broke my heart. Dwayne Wade has a documentary, ESPN documentary coming out about his life. But he goes to Ellen DeGeneres' show to, you know, talk about this his upcoming documentary. And in his interview, he couldn't help but discuss his 12-year-old son. His 12-year-old son, whose name is Zion Wade, his 12-year-old son came to him and his now wife, Gabrielle Union. And Gabrielle is not his son's biological mother. Came to them and said that he wants to live as a girl. And I'm going to get into this a little more, but Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union have decided to support this in the call of their son, Zaya. All right. Now, I'm going to get into this, but I want you to keep in mind that Dwayne Wade fought to have sole custody of his sons. He has four boys. None of them are the product of his relationship, his marriage to Gabrielle Union. They all are the product of his marriage, former marriage, to his high school sweetheart, Siobhan. And the basis that upon which Dwayne Wade fought to have custody of his sons was that he wanted to protect them from their biological mother. Let that sit, let that marinate a little bit. But now he goes on Ellen DeGeneres' show to talk about his documentary. Now, if I was cynical, I would say, man, why are you exploiting your child in order to get people to watch your documentary? Because that's what it sounds like to me. If I were cynical, but you know, I'm not cynical. You know. And in the interview, and I want you guys to listen to this, because he began the interview. That sounded okay. And I'm going to warn you, Jeff, because I'm going to pause it after he makes a statement. And I want you to think about what he's saying and then think about how the interview progresses. Listen to Dwayne Wade's conversation with Ellen DeGeneres, and it is clip number 4.
We are proud, when I say proud, we are proud parents of a child in the LGBTQ plus community. And we're proud allies as well. And we take our roles and our responsibility as parents very seriously. So when our child comes home with a question, when our child comes home with an issue, when our child comes home with anything, it's our job as parents to listen to that, to give them the best information that we can.
Now pause it right there. That's correct, Mr. Wade. Not the first part, when you talk about being an ally and all of that. But he began well. He said, quote, when a child comes home with an issue, it's our job as parents to give them the best information that we can, the best feedback that we can. That's absolutely correct. The best information and the best feedback. The best information and the best feedback. But that's not what happened. Play the remainder of the clip, please.
The best feedback that we can. And that doesn't change because sexuality is now involved in it.
So
once Zaya, 12-year-old, came home, and first Zion, everybody, I don't know if everyone knows, originally named Zion, Zion born as a boy, came home and said, hey, so I want to talk to you guys. You know, I think going forward, I'm ready to live my truth. And I want to be referenced as she and her. I would love for you guys to call me Zaya.
Now, remember what Dwayne Wade said earlier. It is our job as parents, when a child comes home with an issue, to give them the best information that we can and the best feedback that we can. But Dwayne Wade continued on in this conversation to reveal that his son sat him and Gabrielle Union down and announced his intention to change his name and his identity. And according to Dwayne Wade's own account, he and Gabrielle Union accepted this self-identification without question. I have a problem with that. Because it makes me wonder, Mr. Dwayne Wade, as a professional basketball player, retired, potential Hall of Famer, multi-time All-Star, former NBA Finals MVP. If your son would have came home and told you he didn't want to play basketball no more, and he decided he wanted to switch to cricket, do you think you would have just unquestionably accepted that? Do you think you would have asked him, well, little man, what is it about basketball that you find no longer appealing? Are there any instances that are occurring that are giving you pause with your teammates? What is it about this sport that is causing you to want to change? But when the boy comes and saying he wants to change his identity, you accept it without question?
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Chick-fil-A founder Truett Cathy once said, "You can tell if a person needs encouragement. Just check to see if they're breathing." Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Today, a half hour of strong weekend radio encouragement packed with fascinating guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. Plan to join us for Encouragement Today, Saturdays at 8:05 p.m. Central Time, here on American Family Radio.
Gospel? Which gospel? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. We shouldn't be surprised that professing Christendom in America is full of frauds and charlatans, huckstering false teaching and non-saving gospels. Sadly, it's very profitable. Misrepresenting God and His Word are grievous sins, and people are badly impacted when they are drawn in by false teachers and their error. The Bible says, "False prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies." Like the Bereans in Acts 17, true believers need to examine every teacher and teaching according to the standard of God's Word. Hear more and preview the film American Gospel at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for part two.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Fabich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. When students at Franklin County High School in Virginia were told they could not fly the American flag from their trucks because it was offensive, they did what any red-blooded American teenager would do. They flew the American flag. An administrator at the Virginia school told several kids they could no longer fly Old Glory because it was potentially offensive. So the following day, a parade of pickup trucks arrived at the high school decked out in American flags. You can see the video of the parade on toddstarnes.com. Local citizens weighed in on Facebook, proud that young people would take such a bold stand for Old Glory. The principal has reportedly apologized for what he called a big misunderstanding. That's good news, but far too often we've heard of government-run schools cracking down on patriotism. So here's my advice, kids. When a school administrator tells you to take down that flag, you do what the teenagers at Franklin County High School did. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. We will open the phone lines this segment. The number to call if you want to join the program is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. The topics of discussion on the table today: be wary of the idolatry of the experts. The world would say, hey, well, you're not qualified to do this with your child. You're not qualified to teach your child. You're not qualified to do this because did you go to school? Contrast that with what the Word of God says. Not just my opinion. The Word of God says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So you might respond, do you fear the Lord? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. So if you don't have insight and understanding, which comes by knowledge of the Holy One, you aren't qualified to instruct my child. Why? Because I'm committed to rearing my child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. One who does not fear the Lord cannot help you train your child to fear the Lord. So you may be an expert in your field of expertise, but that does not make you an expert and my child. Topic number two, New Hampshire primaries and Pete Buttigieg. He's starting to feel himself a little bit. What do you think about that? You think the nation really would select Pete Buttigieg? Also, do you think the nation would select a socialist? Not just in word, but in deed. And that pretty much covers almost the entirety of the Democratic presidential primary field. Next topic, which I haven't finished yet. Dwayne Wade. Joaquin Phoenix might be upset, but somebody stole some milk from some cow and spiked Dwayne Wade's milk because this brother is tripping. He is tripping. And we were talking about, he makes the statement on Ellen's show, it's a parent's responsibility that if a child comes to you with an issue, with questions, concerns, that you present them the best information. But in his own family, with his son says, hey, Dad, I think I'm a girl. He says nothing. Just sits back and accepts it. And before we went to the break, I was explaining, here you have Dwayne Wade, a basketball player. I guarantee you, if one of his boys started out playing basketball and they decided, you know what, Dad? I don't want to play basketball anymore. I want to become an equestrian. You think Dwayne Wade would have said, okay? Of course not. Would have asked, well, what's going on with basketball? Do you no longer like the game? Is it, what's going on? Is something going on? What makes you feel that way? Or how about this? The little boy comes to him saying, Dad, I think I'm a girl. Gives you a perfect opportunity to say, whoa, you saying you're a girl? What does that mean? What do you think a girl is? How did you come to that conclusion? But he says none of that. He sits, and this is from his own admission in the interview. He accepts it, and then it gets even worse. It gets even worse. Dwayne Wade admitted in this interview that once his son told him he wanted to be a girl, it became his responsibility, Dwayne Wade's responsibility, to go and learn the information. Now, what do we have here, folks? What do we have here, folks? This is connected to where I began the program. You have an inversion of the authority roles that God has given us within our families. Mm-hmm. You see, Dwayne Wade, as the father, is supposed to be the head of the household. But now he's letting the little boy tell him what to do. And it isn't lost on me that Gabrielle Union revealed that once they learned their son, and I'm going to say it in my words, became confused about his identity and his sexuality, that they sought out the cast of Pose, which is a queer musical dance series. Never watched it. So your child is confused, and you're going to seek some more confused people for advice for your confused child. Now, the point I'm driving at, it's not personal. I don't know Dwayne Wade. I don't know Gabrielle Union, but I will tell you this. It's not lost on me. Y'all come in real close now. It's not lost on me that Dwayne Wade didn't start having confused children until the Hollywood Gabrielle Union came into his life. Do what you will with that observation. But wasn't none of that popping off until she comes into his life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, so you have the father following the son. See, it's our responsibility as fathers, to train our children, to rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I've told y'all the story before. My oldest son, when he was young, he said he was Spider-Man. I'm telling you. So, oh yeah, Daddy, you see Spider-Man? I got webs. I can fling my webs and I can hang from upstairs. The equivalent of what Dwayne Wade did would have been for me to say, really, son? Go ahead. Let me see you swing. In fact, let me go get some information to learn about how Spider-Man does his thing. No, it's incumbent on me to say, okay, son, it's okay to pretend you're a Spider-Man. Because that's an acceptable pretending. But can I tell you another story? I'm just telling you, these are facts. You guys know that I'm a homeschool father. My wife is a domestic engineer. It's a homemaker. In the younger years, my wife does more with our younger children in terms of hands-on formation. As they get older, I begin to do more, okay? My oldest son, the same son, when we were young, because of the quantity of time my son spent with my wife, he wanted from time to time to put on my wife's shoes. Now the world would say, up! He's identifying as a female. But you want to know what it was? He spent so much time with his mommy. He loved his mommy. So he wanted to put on mommy's shoes. And you know what mommy did? Mommy said, no, Christian, you don't wear mommy's shoes. You put on daddy's shoes. You see? You want to know what my little son did? He was like 2 or 3 years old. You know what he said? He did? He said, oh, yeah, that's right, mommy. Because I'm going to grow into a big man like daddy. Just like that. Isn't it amazing that even among the mental health professionals, those who have suffered as adolescents with the social pathology called gender dysphoria, on their own as they age, as long as their delusion is not reaffirmed, they live as the men and women that were made to be. Overwhelming majority. Now, what do you know? What do you know? No, Dwayne. What you're supposed to do is tell your son, son, God made you a boy. It appears that you have a fundamental misunderstanding of what it means to be a boy and to be a girl. You see, many times, and those of you who are parents, who have been parents, who are grandparents, on numerous occasions, in many different areas, we have the responsibility of redirecting our children. I had a daughter. She liked to cook. One day, we were cooking in the kitchen. The stove was hot. You know what she wanted to do? Touch the stove. Ooh, that's some pretty colors, Daddy. You know what Daddy said? No, baby, the stove is hot. The equivalent in this example of what Dwayne Wade did was, oh, you want to touch the stove? Go ahead. Man, listen, in the name of political correctness, adhering to the social orthodoxy, we have people that are abusing their own children. That's child abuse. To tell his boy he could be Zaya. That's child abuse. But it's the fad for the day. So the celebrities are doing it, and I'm just going to tell y'all flat out. The enemy is using celebrities to normalize rebellion. It's not new. It's the same old playbook that the devil has used throughout human history. You get popular people to act wickedly and to rebel. It makes other people feel like, oh, yeah, let's rebel. That's child abuse. And it's happening before our very eyes. And in any other circumstance, if you had a child, I've seen it. If you have a child that says, hey, you know what? You know what I want to do? I want to snort cocaine. I want to smoke crack. You know what would happen to a parent who let that happen under their watch? They go to jail. You have a child who tells their parent, you know what? I'm going to go rob a bank with Junie and Junebug. The parent risks being considered an accessory of that criminal defense. But because it's the nouveau orthodoxy of our social order, we let it ride. And we say, this is progressive. Folks, this is why I call it regressive. You cannot deviate from God's word and call yourself advancing humanity or yourself. You are regressing. I have more to say, but I promise I get to the phone lines. The number to call if you want to join the program is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. We will go first to Oklahoma, where William is on the line. William, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
All right, thanks for taking my call. I was just remarking about the so-called experts that we have in child psychology and all the magazines on parenting. And when they talk about the exposure of young kids to explicit sex education tape and confusing them in the schools, I haven't heard anything from those people about the effect that it's having on the children. I just wonder if you heard anything. Why aren't these the experts on psychology stepping forward and making any comments? I just want to hear your opinion on that.
That's a good question. I don't know how long you've been listening, but I did an entire program where the Center for Childhood Sexual Exploitation is reporting increased numbers of childhood sexual assaults with the rampant epidemic of our pornographic culture. When I say pornographic culture, yes, I'm talking about what happens digitally. It's not in print like it was back in the day, but I'm also talking about these so-called sex ed curriculums that are being utilized in the school, and they're doing all kind of examples and demonstrations with the application of prophylactics. I'm using big words on purpose so the kids don't understand what I'm saying. But they are doing this, folks, and they're surprised. In the study that I shared, that the Center for Childhood Sexual Exploitation, they went on to say that they don't want to make a direct correlation between the phenomenon of pornography and the early introduction of these sex ed curriculums to these children, but they cannot ignore it. And they're saying the ages of the victims and the abusers are getting younger and younger and younger. It is my contention that those who are sexually deviant, who want to exploit children, and not only children, but also want to cultivate a lascivious society, they want to normalize sexual rebellion. And I mean that within a heterosexual context and a homosexual context. So thank you for your call and your comments. We'll go next to Mississippi, where Roger is on the line. Roger, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor for you to take my call.
The honor is mine,
this
Roger.
Is my thought right here. I am the oldest son of a minister who listens to you daily, got me to listen to you. And if we're going to go with the biblical principle of what a father is, the father's supposed to be the high priest of the family. He is supposed to be the one standing at the gate, defending his family, praying for his family, fasting for his family, and his family's supposed to be lifting him up in prayers. It's a circle.
That's right.
Why isn't that happening anymore? Why is the circle broken?
Good question, Roger. And I'll just say very simply, one, because the authority and application of God's word to our individual lives is being abandoned. And secondarily, there is an all-out assault, first, on God. Second, in order to get at God, you have to have an all-out assault on his word. Third, as a continuation of the assault on God and his word, there's an attack on the biblical order for the family. That's why within our culture, whenever men are mentioned, they rarely are mentioned as husbands, married husbands who are joyfully and lifelong married, who are enjoying being married. And with the family, if there is a husband around, he's often the butt of the jokes, the dud, the one who's the most ignorant in all times, at all points, in all ways, and the ones who have the most, the best romantic lives, the most celebrated characters, the most celebrated people, are the ones who live in utter rebellion against the Lord. So simply put, the reason why it's not seen and celebrated more often is because we have a society that hates God. Try to get one more in. Adam from Arkansas, you're on the Hamilton Corner. I know you can hear the music. You only have 10 seconds. Go right ahead.
I was just going to echo what you're saying, man. I want to encourage everybody to fight and pray for their children. Today's society, I've got a 15-year-old girl who things are tough out there, and the devil is he's smart, but our God is stronger and he's more powerful, and I just want to encourage everyone to fight for their children.
Well said, Adam. We'll leave it right there. As Adam said, fight for your children. Fathers, stand firm as high priest of your home.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.